4:30, we're starting. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Legislator List, would you like to lead us?
Be my honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please do roll call. Chair Collins.
Here.
Legislator Kovacs.
Here.
Legislator List.
Here.
Legislator McCullough.
Here.
Legislator Nolan.
Here.
Legislator Sperry.
Here.
Legislator Ushetil.
Here.
You have quorum.
Thank you very much. Before we start, I just want to say a couple words. This is, as we all know, an issue that is very precious to a lot of people, which creates a lot of emotion and a lot of charge. And I'm really happy that we've been able to have conversations that have had facts-based conversations. I'm proud of the fact that the legislators and the audience have been able to keep us on track, and that's my encouragement and hope that we all work together to determine what's best for the county. That's what I know the legislators are going to be doing, and that's what I believe will come out of this meeting. So I just want to preface that, okay? Because we're just in an era of conflict right now, and we need to work together for what's best for all of us. Okay, so call the meeting to order. Do I have a motion to approve the September 26, 2024 meeting minutes? Motion. Legislator McCullough, seconded by Legislator Kovacs. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, first item is presentation by the Catskill Mountain Railroad. I'm assuming it's Ernie. He's going to do this, correct?
And hello?
We have a stop time today.
I'm sorry, yes. Thank you, Legislator. We will be stopping at 6. We have meetings. Many of us have meetings at 6:30. We have to get to in different locations. So we will be ending at 6. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for having...
Oh, let me turn this on.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And I've been told the clicker works. So hopefully we'll have no problems with clickers this time. But anyway, thank you for having us. The Catskill Mountain Railroad has done an extensive amount of work on studying railway trail, not only through this section of the corridor, but also we've looked at the whole corridor again from Kingston to West Hurley. And we asked Stone Consulting to update their report from 2015, and that should be included with your materials for this meeting. It's an appendix to this presentation, so I'm not going to be directly putting it up, but our presentation is it contains some of the same information that's in the report that Stone has done. And again, the executive summary, which we'll go to the next page here. As I said, we've done an extensive review. We've asked Stone Consulting to update the report. And we've used the same segments that Open Space Institute used in the last meeting. Stony Hollow Basin Road, 1.7 miles, that's the one that's the primary one that's under consideration. But we also looked at Hurley Mountain Road to Stony Hollow, New York Thruway to Hurley Mountain Road, and Westbrook Lane to New York State Thruway. So that's less of a focus in this presentation than the segment one. And again, this is the picture that this is actually what OSI used last time, so I thought I'd use this graph. It shows you the various segments so you can visualize them. And they're in your report if you need to look at it. I'll just tell you all a little bit about the Catskill Mountain Railroad. In the last presentation, I didn't actually do this, so I thought it was good to do this with you all today. The Catskill Mountain Railroad is a heritage railroad based in Kingston, New York. It began operations in 1982, and we leased the 5-mile portion of the New York Central Catskill Mountain branch from Kingston to Stony Hollow, New York, from Ulster County. The tracks were purchased in 1979 by the county for the estate of the Penn Central. The county leased the track continuously to CMRR in one form or the other since 1983. One important point is that New York is formed as a New York Railroad Corporation. We are not a railroad, we are a railroad. And we were recognized that as such by New York State, which is one of the reasons that we were able to obtain a grant from New York State DOT that we obtained earlier this year. But we consider ourselves a community service organization dedicated to preserving the history and operation of the former Ulster and Delaware Railroad. We're here really for the corridor. We have no other business to do besides do work on this corridor. That's what we were created for, and that's what we're here to do. And that's what our goal has been from the very beginning. All of our operating profits are reinvested into the preservation of the corridor, which is highly unusual for a corporation to do so. But we've done that, and we've done that from the beginning. We have a payroll of almost $500,000 right now. We switched from being a volunteer operation about 4 or 5 years ago to a paid operation. But we still put all of our operating profits back into the corridor because a railroad needs a lot of capital investment. And that's what we do with our surplus funds. We invest it right back into the railroad. We operate from Easter to Christmas every year with themed events, trains, and I think you all are familiar with those. We just are wrapping up Pumpkin Express this weekend. And by the way, we still want to have an invite to anybody who would like to take the train. The Pumpkin Express is going at 10, 12, 2, and 4 this weekend. And Polar Express starts on November 15th. So, of course, if anybody would like to take the train, we would love to have you there. I thought I'd do a slide on railway trail economics, just to give a sense of the contribution, the economic contribution of the railroad, but also how it compares to the trail. And again, the biggest difference between the trails and the railroad, and by the way, these figures came from the most recent State of the Trails report, is that our ridership is basically 81% from people outside of Ulster County. The trails are 70% inside, 30% outside. They complement each other, but they are different. And the trails are used by the local population more. The railroad generally comes from people that come from outside to Ulster County. And we publish those figures every year. They're on our website, and it goes down the zip code of where people come from. We calculate the economic value as $7 million for the CMR. We went into that in detail in the last meeting. We took from the UC Trails the $17 million figure. So this is a good comparison of the economic contribution of the rails and the trails together. And again, they have sort of an inverse relationship because of the fact that trails tend to be a little more focused on people who live here. And the railroad is most, our customers are generally from outside that bring come into Ulster County. And again, the key here is the non-local and overnight users are really where the money comes into the county. The figures of daytime users, most of our trips during the summer are daytime users. In the trail report, it's about 15 to 35 for day users, but overnight it's a lot more. And basically half of our Polar Express customers stay overnight, and that's really where the economic contribution of the railroad comes. But we believe that by combining the railroad and the trail, creating a day, a full experience, you're going to get a lot more overnight users of the corridor because of the combined experience. And that's the key, is to get people to stay overnight here. And having a combined experience is essentially what we believe is going to allow both the trail and the rail to contribute more to Ulster County through increased overnight stays and ridership, of course. So anyway, this is just a brief overview of the economics. The width, the railway trail width is kind of interesting. I'm going to actually go to the next slide because it's more visual than this one. I'll talk you through this. OSI mentioned last time the best practices report published by FHA and FRA, and they had a couple slides from it. I thought I'd pick a couple that would be, I think, appropriate for our discussion. And now this is a profile of a railway trail in a more constrained area where you have, like our area, it's more constrained than it is on an open, flat area. And the key distances are the distance can't really walk away from this. The distance from the center line of the train to the edge of the trail is 10 feet in these best practices. And of course, if you have a 10-foot trail, that gives you 20 feet from the center line of the trail, train to the edge of the trail. In a constrained situation, you don't need the shoulder on the far side. That's basically what it says. Last time, OSI had 23 and a half feet. This is 20 feet. Most of that is the shoulder, and the shoulder is not necessary in a constrained location. The other issue is, of course, the distance between the train and the trail. And the 10 feet is a guideline, but we have looked at other railway trails combinations, and generally with heritage railways, that distance sometimes gets a little bit shorter than that, you know, 8 to 12, 10 feet. So that gets you something like 16 to 18 feet from the center line of the railroad to the edge of the outer edge of the trail. And again, it's important because it determines the cost of railway trail, because the more area you need, the more expensive it's going to be. A few pictures here. These are some heritage railways that we have some pictures of. I'll show you how some of the railway trails on heritage railways are done. Generally, they're much less formal than they are for a freight railroad, and because like ourselves, the trains run at about 10 miles an hour and can stop in less than 100 feet. Western Meridian was a scenic railroad, a very interesting one. There was a huge fight about this between the trail and the railroad communities back in 2004 and 2005. And because even though it was a double track railroad, it had narrow distances. And actually, Randy Gustafson from Stone Consulting was heavily involved in this. And they were going to pull up the railroad, but there was a big fight. There was a determination that you could do railway trail. They built it, and it's been a great, tourist attraction for both sides since the fight occurred. And it's worked out for both. And it's a great bike trail. It's also a great railroad. And this is a sign that railway trail can work, even after there's been a bitter fight about things. This is the five-star trail in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania. It's actually next to an active freight railroad, but has pretty tight distances as well. And this is another one. This is the Sacramento Southern, which is in Sacramento, California. This is actually the state railway museum in Sacramento. It's the state-funded museum. And it has a trail that's pretty close to the tracks as well, without a barrier. So with heritage railways like ourselves, the distances tend to be a little more flexible. This is a map of the Catskill Mountain Railroad and the potential extension, just so you know, and you can see the segments. We operate to Stony Hollow right now, and the proposed rail trail terminal and extension, as you can see up to the reservoir, is on here. So I think this is a good sort of visualizes what we're what we're trying to do, and I think you can see why it's so important for us to make that last 2 miles up to the reservoir, because where we stop at Stony Hollow is really kind of middle of nowhere right now. So I've got some detail here. I'm going to go through the various segments. This is the segment from that we're studying right now, 833 to 1001. And what we did is we subdivided this into 9 sub-segments. And OSI, I'm not going to go through every single one of these. I'm going to pick ones that are most interesting. It is important to note that this segment is paralleled by a local road, Basin Road to 28A. It does parallel sections, so it's not just 28. And it is on a 2% grade, which means that may have a different profile of users than the Shokan Trail, because some people prefer just to go downhill instead of go uphill. That's true really all the way from the Hurley Flats all the way up to the Shokan Reservoir. And again, this is a close-up of the section that we're studying from Stony Hollow to West Hurley. And again, we'll be talking about various sections. The Stony Hollow Fill, which has been subject of a lot of discussion. There's Beesmer Road, which is a dead-end road about milepost 9. We have a long fill cut that you go through, and then the proposed station is up at Basin Road. Again, this is, you've seen this before. This is what we gave last time. This is our picture of our proposed station at Basin Road. And again, I don't want to repeat everything we went through, but this is a good profile of what, where we see the terminal would be and how it connects to the Shokan Rail Trail. I'll just go through a few points about this section. We signed a 15-year lease with the property owner in 2023. And this, the county only has a rail-only easement on this property. We did get the owner to give the CMRR the right to put a parallel trail next to the tracks in its lease. So we do, we have gotten that from the property owner, even though the county does not have that right. The Castle Mountain Railroad obtained a $667,000 railroad-only grant from DOT to develop this property in a rail and trail terminal with CMRR and the ART, which was really a terrific endorsement of our plan from New York State DOT, but it also helps make this project a lot more viable and a lot faster to build than it would be otherwise. And briefly, the site allows improved access to the ART by creating a direct link to Basin Road and the stoplight. We went through that before. And again, as I said before, linking these things, we think we create a much bigger tourism destination than each can be separately. Just to give you a little rundown of what's actually in the grant, this is the breakdown. The $124,000 was for rehabilitation of the railroad tracks, but most of it is for other things. There is a temporary station that we would put there similar to our current station. Loading platform and connecting trail is $50,000 for electricity and tool house, about $60,000 for brush clearing. But the bulk of it, $300,000, is for grading and the parking lot, the access road, and putting in the parallel trail. And this grant does include putting in a parallel trail through the 900-foot length of the property up there. And we have the $25,000 for site plan engineering. And as we learned from the earlier meetings, DOT is waiting for this committee to make a decision to release this grant and start work on the site. And again, it's important, this is the first time that a railroad grant has ever been used that we know for at least partially for trail construction. And this is a source that only the Catskill Mountain Railroad or another railroad can have access to in New York State. Now the next section is about the rock cut, which I think those of you who walk the right of way, you know is a very long segment. And it's width, varies in width from 28 to 40 feet, an average of 36 feet. I was a little surprised when I saw this OSI presentation because they said it was 18 feet, and it just, I don't know how they came up with that number, but we measured it every 33 feet. It's a minimum of 28 feet. There's a lot of shale that's fallen down on the sides of this over the years. It needs to be cleaned out. Whether you build the trail or you build the railroad, rebuild the railroad, that still has to be cleaned out. And it's about almost 3/4 mile long. Again, we went through and measured the cut. The distance is every 33 feet. So we have a pretty good handle on it. And our measurements come with an average of 36 feet. This was built to double track standards. A lot of the Shokan Reservoir project was built to double track standards, the bridges at Reservoir Road, and also at in Boyceville were built extra wider for double track. This cut was built for double track. It's much wider than the cuts that come up from Kingston. And because of that, the excavation is really not as, OSI had 45,000 cubic yards, but we just could not even come close to that number. We think it's more like about 5,000 cubic yards, and most of it is just getting all the junk out of the ditches. And remember too that one point that OSI did not include was that you can shift the track if you need to. And once the ties are in, we're planning to resurface Resurfacing is basically taking the track and picking it up and putting new ballast in. When you do that, you can shift it over. It's not that difficult to do. And that's something we would take responsibility for. If it turns out that we need a little more width in the cut, we can move the track over 2 to 4 feet. And that's in the, I mentioned that in here. It is also a very wide right-of-way here. It's about 120 feet wide, 60 feet on each side. And I did actually walk the south side of the cut. It's actually not bad up there in terms of, you know, for a hiking trail. It's a very nice hiking trail. I suspect that the bicyclists would prefer to be in the cut because it's just going to be faster. But, you know, it's actually a very nice hiking trail above the cut, which is, you know, some people might prefer to be on a hiking trail. I think a bicyclist would probably prefer to be in the cut, but it is usable up there. I did a couple cross sections. We had, this is what I just talked about. This is a cross section we did of the cut as we see it in some cases it's less than 32 feet, but it's generally at least 28. And this shows having a full shoulder on both sides, but that can be compressed a little bit. And again, it's very similar to what you would have for a double track railroad. Again, this cut is just not where we think the problem is. The problem is in another section. We believe this can be, you know, a railroad trail can be put in here relatively easily. And especially if you want to move the track over, you can get a little more width. We don't see this as a big obstacle to railroad trail from Stony Hollow to Basin Road. This is the Beaver Road Bridge, which is a 14.5 foot by 20 foot, 1 foot bridge. I think that OSI had suggested putting a parallel bridge, and we priced one out. We had Stone priced one out. They're not cheap. It's like $300,000 to put a parallel bridge there. I'm still not sure that price is right. But you can also deck this thing, deck over the bridge, and use it as a place where you could share the rail and trail for a short distance if you wanted to save some money. Treat it like a highway crossing. So there's a way to save more money there. But again, this is not a very long bridge, and it has very low traffic. And again, it just depends on whether you want to put a bridge in there or if you want to share the right of way for essentially 21 feet. There's a lot of right of way on both sides of this area. And the fill between this and the cut is very, very wide. And I didn't go through a slide on this, but we don't think that's any problem at all. It was, again, built to double track standards, just something like 25 to 30 feet wide, the fill from Beaver back up to the rock cut. And this is what we sort of see as a design for trail bridge. I suspect that OSI would have something similar. It's essentially a bridge that's mounted in the fill parallel to the railroad bridge. Now we come to the Stony Hall fill, which is the big sort of problem issue that was identified by Stone back in 2015. And this is the picture recently that we took of the fill. And I'll walk you through the details of the fill. It's about 1,250 feet long. It's a quarter of a mile long. It is about 600 feet of it is over wetlands. It is bordered by New York State land on the north side. There's a private owner on the south side. It was originally 66 feet wide, but in 1911, the railroad increased the size to 150 feet wide. And we believe they increased the size of the fill at that time by making it somewhat wider. There's a culvert to fill. The right-of-way, by the way, is not owned by the county. However, I suspect that the property owners on each side don't know who owns it. But like with the Midtown Linear Park, you're probably going to have to do some proceeding to get control of the property. But again, I don't see any property owner of the size going to contest it. It's just another thing you have to do if you're going to put a trail through here. The top of the sill is about 15 feet wide. It's a narrow section. And we came up with four proposed solutions which do not touch the wetland area. And the one, number one, is the one we're going to go into a little more detail, which is to create a parallel walkway on the side of the sill a few feet down from the tracks. So I'll walk you through a couple of the ideas here. And by the way, this is the one we had priced out by Stone, which we'll see later on. What we plan to do here is to put in a 10-foot walkway on the side of the sill, a few feet down from the railroad tracks. The angle of the sill is about 35 degrees in this area, and each end of the Stony Hollow sill, you can actually use sill because it's not near wetland, but it's not that deep. So 200 feet at each end, you can just use normal fill and trail. But the 850 feet in the middle needs to be done on a walkway. And Stone estimated about $1,000 a foot to build this walkway, which would be embedded into the side of the fill. And again, we think this is really the best of the four. I'll show you a few others that we've looked at. And by the way, this is from the best practices book as well. It does tell you a little bit about, it's very similar to what we would look at on the fill, what they've done at other places where they've built a trail in the fill. This doesn't involve a walkway, but this is something similar to what we would be looking at. This is an interesting option we looked at, which lowers the fill by 2 feet to get additional width and shifts the track over. It still creates a pretty narrow 7-foot area for the trail. So we thought the walkway is probably the better idea, but this is one option you can do. Another option is putting steel beams in the fill and going out further to get a little more width. Again, I think those are going to both be a lot of work and probably priced higher than what we looked at. And an interesting option, which I think is not really practical because of the length of this, is that there are sections of other rails with trails that have shared it. The fact is that the length of a deck for 1,100 feet is probably cheap. It's just as expensive as putting in the parallel walkway. So I think the number one option is really the most optimal. And again, Stone did some pricing of that. I'll show you that later. I'll just briefly go to the other segments since that's not the main focus of this what the committee is focusing on. These segments were looked at by Stone in 2015. And there's no bypasses on this segment. The only way to go through here is through 28. And this is probably where you have the most issues with excavation and fills, is this section. There was a former double track siding in the middle of this for about a half a mile. That part is not too bad. The last mile up to Stony Hollow could require about 32,000 cubic yards of excavation, and somewhat less on the section that's between Hurley Mountain Road and the double track siding. What is interesting is that we did talk to Kenco, and Kenco was interested in actually allowing the trail to come down below the railroad line and go through his property. Bill Kennedy said he would love to have trail users actually come and stop in his store. So if there was enough room at the back of his property on county right-of-way, maybe even on his property, he said he'd be very interested in seeing if the trail could be routed through his property, or at least adjacent to his property. So it's kind of an interesting option, and Bill was pretty amenable to that when I talked with him. One other thing is that the JR Body Shop and Flood Family have rail-only easements, and they know they have them, so that's going to have to be negotiated to get trail use through those. So they can be bypassed if you go between the railroad and 28A. And again, what's interesting too is there's a landlocked property for about a mile and a third that parallels the south side of the tracks that might be available. maybe not for bikes, but for a really nice hiking trail that parallels the tracks in here. I walked it, and it was actually quite compelling, a walk in the woods. You can get kind of high above the railroad, but again, probably not a bike trail, but a really nice potential for a nice nature trail above the property. And that property, since it's landlocked, it's probably fairly easy to purchase. But it goes on for a mile and a third. Okay. Segment three, again, this is down in the Hurley Flats. I just bring it up because it was a pretty big discussion last time because of the bridge over 209. Stone thought that there might be a way to get around that. They talk about that a little bit in their report. The two basic problems going through this segment is the C9 bridge and the 209 crossing. Stone priced out in here decking over and sharing the bridge between rail and trail, but there is an option to put a side bridge, but it's expensive. It's about $2.5 million to put the trail on the outside of the bridge. There is a way to share the rail and the trail on the bridge. It's been done in other places. It's just you have to have a proper operating rules to make sure that railroad and people are not on the bridge at the same time. Segment four is the final segment in Kingston. And actually, the existing railway trail policy has been implemented partially in this segment already. The Chandler Drive to Westbrook Lane has the Midtown Linear Park. From Washington Avenue to the Thruway, you have the Kingston Rail Trail. The county is now working on a crossing for the pedestrian crossing at Washington Avenue. They've got $1.5 million as a TAP grant for that. And once that crossing is done, I assume that the county will work to try to connect the Midtown Linear Park and the Kingston Rail Trail, which should be done a couple different ways, but you can certainly do it. There's enough room on the south side of the track to put an asphalt-based trail in there. Stone put some estimates for that in their report. And costs. So I put in here a summary of what Stone put together. You also see it in their report. What was interesting is that the numbers from trail only came out to be fairly similar to OSI's. OSI had $15 to $17 million cost, but their railway trail number was quite significantly lower. One of the reasons for that is that excavation costs and fill are just not that they're not as expensive as you might think. The cost of fill is $30 a cubic yard. Excavation is about $60 a cubic yard for soft shale. The part that's excavation and fill is very doable. And what Stone told us is that the excavation and fill that they put in here, which is standard contractor pricing, it can be done by the railroad at half the price. And that's something that we might be able to work with the county. Having an active railroad is a great way to transport stuff like that around. And it could really save a lot of money on the railroad trail. That's not priced into these numbers. These numbers are priced assuming that it's done by a contractor, not by us. What was interesting was that the two areas where you see there's a big difference in price, the rock cut's definitely more expensive than the railroad trail, but it wasn't a huge amount more expensive. Because again, the excavation and the rock cut isn't as extensive as I think that OSI thought it was. The rock cut is, it is irregular, so there are some places where you might have to move the track or excavate, but it is 28 feet wide all the way through, and or more. Of course, the Beesman Bridge depends on whether you want to, deck it over and share it. That's going to be, the bridge is going to cost some money to build. The study Paul Phil was basically $850,000 for the walkway, but if you don't have some walkway. You still got to pay a couple hundred thousand just to put fencing along the sides to make it safe. You know, to fill like that for a trail, you got to put fencing on both sides, which is what you see on the Kingston Rail Trail and some segments of the Ashokan Rail Trail. So they priced it in, and it actually came out lower than I was expecting. I thought it was going to be more than what they came up with. And I have, you know, I can get more detail on how these break down if necessary, but I don't want to border, I don't want to get bogged down in the details of this presentation. But I've been through their numbers, and you know, they're done by their PE, Harvey Stone, who is well known in this area, and is I think did a great job of trying to come up with some real numbers in here. The biggest real difference between rail and trail is actually segment two. And that's where you have a lot more excavation and fill. And that's probably going to be the area that's going to be, you know, the biggest difference between rail to trail and trail is in that section. The segment we're looking at here, we came with about $1 million difference. And that might be lessened if some railroad does some of the excavation work. But building the walkway and the bridge at Beezer Road are going to be what they're going to be. We also just put some numbers in for the other segments. We didn't really have a great number to put in for the 209 bridge. We just put $3 million in it. Without knowing the design, it's hard to say. But that's common to both rail and rail trail anyway, so it doesn't really make a difference. Segment four, which is Peckman and Kingston, we assumed an asphalt trail 10 feet wide in Kingston, whereas the trail that is going up the hill is a crushed stone trail similar to the Ashokan Rail Trail. Since we already have asphalt on both trails in Kingston, we assumed it would be asphalt the whole way. But again, that's not really the big focus of this, what the committee is working on. So this comes to our recommendation, and based on what we found and what Stone has found, and we agree that railroad trail is feasible from Kingston to Basin Road, and OSI also agrees with that. That's what they said in their last meeting. We recommend that the existing railroad trail policy, which exists from Kingston to Stony Hollow, be extended to Basin Road. You have a unified policy for the corridor from Kingston to Basin Road. And that the county hire an experienced engineering firm to design railroad trail in all segments, but really for two and three are the most important ones. And the Castle Mountain Railroad will work with the county to value engineering the railroad trail design to lower design costs. One of the reasons it's important to have a blueprint for the railroad and the trail is the railroad is getting some fill somewhere and filling it up. We need to know where to put it. And we'll put the fill where the engineer has designated the trail is going to be. But if we don't know it, we just have to dump it wherever we want to dump it. And it would be great to have a plan that everyone was working on long term for where the trail is going to be, where the railroad is going to be. Also, where if we're going to move the railroad, where we're going to move it. Because we don't want to do it twice. I think having that design is really critical to moving forward. And of course, we ask that our permit be extended as soon as possible so that we can get moving on track construction and we can actually access the grant, and which again includes a 900-foot segment of railroad trail. And that grant is specific to the Castle Mountain Railroad. It can't be transferred to anybody else. And again, the Castle Mountain Railroad will pay for track renovations going up to the Basin Road. We have the funds to do that. And we want to get working on that as quickly as possible. A couple things about the engineer I wanted to say is that, again, to repeat what I just said, it's important to have an important survey of the corridor done in detail by an engineering firm to really get the facts of exactly how you want to route the rail and trail through this thing. Everything we're doing is still at a pretty conceptual level. But you've got to basically do the hard work of actually surveying it, designing it. And that's, until you do that, you can't even apply for funding from anywhere if you don't do that. So that's what I would recommend the county does. Again, it would also get a realistic time frame for implementing railroad trail and figuring out there might be some temporary solutions versus permanent design solutions. And again, we want to have a full infrastructure plan for the railroad. We want to know where we would put in sidings, runarounds, maintenance facilities. We'd like to have a blueprint that we could all work towards for the future. Because right now, we really don't have that. And integrate the railroad into the construction of the parallel trail. That means we can basically assist and save a lot of money for constructing the railroad trail. And again, the maximization of grant opportunities to implement railroad trail can be through partially through railroad-owned grants. As we've proven, we can access those in New York State. As far as I've been told, I know that's the only grant that's been issued for trails from New York State rail side. And I think it's an area we could probably access further if we're working together, in addition to the TAP grants and other grants that have been accessed for the trail. I do want to go through the trail-only option because, that is an option that the county can do. And just so you know, there's of the three options, we've never advocated for rail-only. We've always advocated for rail with trail. But the problem with trail-only, from our point of view, is that you do have an existing bypass already from 28A to on 28A Basin Road to bypass this segment of the border. Bikes are using it today. And it's not 28. That's on roads that have a lot less traffic than 28. Except for the Stony Hollow Fill, this is the easiest segment to put railroad trail. The far more difficult ones are segments 2 and 3. 2 because of the extensive fill, and 3 because of the two bridge issues. And again, without a conversion of segment 3 to railroad trail, the segment has limited use of the bike path because you're still going to get to Stony Hollow. You've got to get back on 28. If you're going westbound on 28, I don't think it's really safe to cross over 28 to get to 28A and take the trail. So it's really would be a better eastbound route. I'm not sure if it's a workable westbound route without segment 2 being done. Of course, if it's trail only, the grant money will go away for the terminal, which I think is a great terminal, is a great benefit to the rail and the trail, and to the local economies and the local neighborhoods. And of course, this will create a trail to nowhere until funding is found to build railroad trail from Stony Hollow to Kingston, which, again, I just don't see how having a trail that goes to Stony Hollow stops. We just don't really see how that could be beneficial. And obviously, it will cripple our ability to grow and have a destination. And we have not seen that there's any incremental economic benefits for trails to get in there. And a few things that we want to mention about the consequences of trail only to us. It will definitely put a damper on our operations. We will never have a destination. We'll be a train to nowhere, which is what we are today. In 2016, we lost our destination of the Shokan Reservoir. We lost our maintenance facility. And we've been operating on a single track with a single switch. There's no historical heritage railroad that's operated on with infrastructure so minimal. I mean, a train, kids' train set has more switches than we have. And, it's just not, we have to figure out how to grow this into a railroad and a trail that have the proper and appropriate infrastructure. And, we have worked to try to get the infrastructure through the grants, but we have to work with the county to come up with a plan that everyone's happy with. We did spend $700,000 to fully upgrade the track in the current permit area. We paid $400,000 in rent. And despite these costs, we've carried 50,000 riders, and we are not subsidized in any way by Ulster County. Most other tourist operations are subsidized in some way by other organizations. And again, we don't know any other tourist railroad has done so much with so little infrastructure or support. And again, just to be honest about this, the county has given full throttle support for the construction of our 8 miles of trails. And that's great. But our request for 2 miles is considered presumptuous. And even our offers to help maintain this have been refused. So we just feel that, it's time for all of us to come together and start working together and start fighting with each other. And we did propose railroad trail in 2013. We'd love to see some reciprocation from the trail community. but I think we're going to, if this is going to work, we all have to work together. So, final slide is that, again, from Resolution 241, this is what the mission of the committee is. Casco Mountain Railroad has never advocated rail only for the segment. Railway trail is what we've advocated. We're asking the committee to adopt that and extend that policy up to Basin Road. It will increase the percentage of the corridor from 12 to 17%. That's real railroad only. One other thing I'm going to mention is that the Casco Mountain Railroad is working to bring another event to Kingston in the summer of 2026, similar to or bigger than the Polar Express. But that is going to be dependent upon having this destination terminal site is envisioned expansion plan. And in order for this to happen, we have to start working with you guys now. And I can't put it in writing, but this is the ticket for the train. And it's the Hogwarts Express Adventure. And it's going to be tough to get this, but Rail Events has now signed a deal with Warner Brothers to bring this. And we have to work together to bring this to Kingston, because this could have twice as many passengers as Polar Express. I mean, you know, my own daughter's 18, is a Harry Potter fan, and she told me to tell you, she had a spell to let you use with you guys. I don't know if it's going to work, but she said it's called Locomotio Magica. So, Locomotia Magica. Anyway, thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Legislator Hewitt. I'm sorry, Stewart.
Thank you for your presentation. I was intrigued and curious if you could explain a little bit more about how the train itself, I just want to make sure I understood you correctly.
Yeah.
The train itself could be used in the construction process,
yep.
in transporting like fill from, mm-hmm. say, the gap.
Yeah, we have two cars called side dumps, mm-hmm. which you've probably seen on the railroad. There's one parked in our maintenance siding right now. We have one in Asia, we have one here. And these can be filled with material through a high rail excavator, which we're in the process of purchasing one. And they can be filled up and basically taken anywhere in the railroad, and the material can be put at any part of the right-of-way that you would like to put fill. And that was how they did the Sony Hall fill. They added fill to it in 100 years ago. That's how railroads basically build fills, is that they basically have equipment like that, and they will use that equipment to disperse the fill. It's a very efficient way of moving a high volume of material. And you can do it with trucks, but a railroad can do it more efficiently. And we do have the equipment to do that.
And so that explains why the railroad would be able to do this in a less expensive manner than...
Yeah, I mean, I asked Harvey Stone that question, and I said, if we do this work, he thought that most of the cut and fill work could be done for about half the price. Because remember, we're not buying the fill. If he put in a price that they're going to get the fill, $30 a cubic yard, they're going to get the fill from somewhere and truck it in and not reuse for the cuts. What we would do is we would take the fill as we excavate and put it in the areas where the fill is going to go. And as long as we know the game plan of where it's supposed to be, we can do that. That's why the engineering, you don't want to just dump fill randomly. You want to basically put it where it's supposed to go.
The more you handle the material, the more expensive the project is. So
well, obviously, but if there's a long-term plan that we work up the county, as we excavate fill in certain parts of the corridor, we can put that fill in other parts of the corridor to lessen the costs of building rail trail.
Thank you.
We get all 100 tons at a time.
Legislator McCullough.
How are you doing? Earlier you said that if this was to happen, you would have an increase in overnight stays.
Yes.
Do you have in your mind like a rough estimate of the percentage that would be?
Yep. Currently, of our ridership, about a third of it is overnight stays. About half of the Polar Express is overnight stays. And the ridership in the summer we have, our trains in the summer are 11, 1, and 3. So people come, they've got enough time to go somewhere else. So, you know, we really don't, I'm sure somebody stays overnight, but we don't really think that those are the people that are really going to stay overnight in Kingston unless they have something else to do while they're here. And that's why combining the railroad with another, another tourist attraction like the trail means it's much more likely that people are going to come and spend the whole day here. And as we talked about a couple of times ago, we would be running a shuttle service at the appropriate time of the year so that you could come and go on the train and the trail pretty much all day. And that means you're much more likely to stay in Kingston and be at restaurants and do what we do for the Polar Express, which is stay overnight. So that is the, that's the difference between having a, if you come to the railroad by itself, I think you're a lot less likely to stay overnight than if you're going to come to the railroad and take the trail and shop in Kingston. Then you're much more likely to stay overnight. And that's really where the money is. Because, if you, a day, if you're there for the day, you're basically spending money on lunch and you're leaving. But if you're spending the night, you're going to go to dinner, you're going to maybe stay at a hotel, it's going to be a lot more. And the trail report had similar numbers. I talked to Ulster County Tourism. They had similar figures as well. The key is to get the people to stay overnight. And the way to do it is to get people here for the whole day and make sure that they stay overnight. And again, a combined attraction is much more likely to do that than, again, Polar Express is at night. We do half of our trains are 6 and 8. They have to stay the night. They really can't. That's not a choice. But we think that combining these two uses together is going to increase the number of overnight stays tremendously from what we have today, both for the trail and the railroad.
Let's hear McCullough.
Last one. At the last presentation, I asked you if this was to happen, would the prices change? And you said no. Does that still stand?
The scenic train, we generally raise the price every year or two. It's just like about a dollar. Depends on, wage inflation and things like that. But we don't anticipate that the scenic train would have these different pricing. The shuttle service would definitely have a cheaper price because it has a different purpose than the scenic train. And so one of the things we've asked the county to do is to let us build a platform at Washington Avenue so that if you're on the Kingston Rail Trail, you can actually, bike up there, get on the train, and take it up to the reservoir on the train, if you want to. The one thing Stone did say in their report is that on the Western Maryland Scenic, which is a 2% grade similar to what we have, they're up. It's a lot more likely that they have people taking the train up and the trail down. Some people are in great shape and do a 2%, but not everybody's got to do that. And having the option of taking your bike up and then taking it down, I think is a great option. We would price that differently for people getting on, especially just bicyclists or pedestrians. We haven't really figured out the specific price. It would be less than our senior train would be.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's let you know.
Yeah, just on these points, OSI's economic projections were done by Des Moines and Associates, who are professionals in that field. Who is it that's done your economic projections?
Well, our economic projections are basically based on our own data, our own reported data. And, we think that, you don't really know what's going to happen when you combine the rail and the trail. I know some people are skeptical there's going to be any combination, but we think it's worth it to the point where we're going to put at least $300,000 or $400,000 into renovating the tracks to get there. So we, you know, we believe that that is worth it. We're willing to take that bet.
So you have the data on what your current ridership is and its components of overnight, and you're making a projection.
Yep.
That projection is based on the railroad trail being a stronger attraction than rail alone.
Correct.
Did you have a projection for what the trail being built from Kingston up to the Ashokan Reservoir, what that would do for bringing people from outside the county and from within the county?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't done that. We'd like to see it. I don't know if this study has been done. We focus more on the railroad. But on the other hand, when we did our presentation, you know, 2 meetings ago, we did put some figures for where we thought the trail use would increase due to the link between the railroad and the trail. We went into that a little bit more in that meeting.
And so conclusions that you're presenting seem to be based on a new study by Stone Consulting. My understanding is that Stone Consulting was hired by Ulster County to do its Stone report about a decade ago, and that work was completed and paid for. So Stone Consulting has no further relationship with Ulster County. Is that your understanding?
We asked them to do it. The committee did not ask Stone to update the numbers.
Did you pay Stone to do it?
Well, not yet, but we'll pay them their time, whatever their rates are.
Wait. Well, you should know.
Can you explain to me how this study was funded?
Which study?
Is that not what we're talking about?
Yeah,
the study that Stone Consulting?
Yeah, we asked them to do it on a time and material basis. We'll pay for it.
So they have a contract with you that delivered a study without you paying for it yet?
Well, usually they just finish it today, so hopefully after it's done. But we signed a contract with them after the last meeting to do this.
Wait, after the last meeting? That was like a few weeks ago. They did this in a few weeks.
Yeah. Remember, they've done a lot of this work, you know, in 2015. The measurements of the corridor from Kingston all the way up here, that was done in great detail in 2015. They built on that information.
So they took the work that they did, mm-hmm. the research that they did, the thing how you paid them for it, they did more work on that to compile it. Did they collect any of the information?
They used existing information. They updated the pricing that they had gotten before. Mm-hmm. They taken measurements for the whole quarter back in 2015. Yeah. What they've updated here is the pricing and the mechanism of how to explain the walkway was at the end of, you know, before. Mm-hmm. But the dimensions of the quarter, they went through and measured all that when they came. They did this in 2015.
So you asked them after the last meeting?
Yeah, I mean, I told them we probably would be, you know, giving a little heads up. And after OSI gave their presentation, I thought it was important to get some accurate figures as to pricing, because that was a big part of the discussion with OSI.
Do you feel OSI's report is inaccurate?
Well, the railroad trail, the trail number, I thought was, remember too, they didn't really give a breakdown of anything. They just sort of said 15, 17 million. And I don't know where that number came from. But I thought it was good to see if, you know, someone would come up with a similar number, and they did. You know, their number was pretty close to what OSI threw up for RIT trail only. I don't know how, you know, if OSI was their figure for 50 million, I don't know. That was just kind of a guess. I just don't know. It was just mentioned verbally in the meeting. It wasn't actually part of the presentation. So, but I thought it was good to put, you know, have Stone come up with these numbers, because it, you know, there were some pretty big numbers that were mentioned last time, and I thought it was good to try to put some, because, you know, Stone's already done so much work on the quarter to update their figures to current numbers was something they could do fairly quickly.
So it was mostly around the financial side of it was what Stone did in this report for you?
No, what they did in 2015 was this particular part of the quarter.
Yeah.
They took a lot of measurements, and, you know, they made estimates of cuts and fills and all this sort of thing, They didn't do that beyond Mile Post 11, because this was the section that, you know, was there that we had been focused on. So they had already done a lot of that work, and what they just did is updated their estimates. You know, basically, there's been a lot of inflation since then.
Yeah.
So they put that in there, and they revisited the issue of how to deal with the Stony Hollow fill. That was a big change from before. Because that was, you know, they had a tough time figuring out how to get around that last time. But, you know, they've seen some things done since then. The Ashoka Rail Trail's built, you know, a walkway for, you know, for about 500 feet around Shokan. And so, you know, the railroad trail design, or trail design, has advanced a lot in the last, you know, 7 or 8 years. So they were able to come up with a mechanism to deal with that on the Stony Hollow Fill that's affordable, which they had a tough time figuring that out, you know, 7 years ago. So, you know, they were in a position to do this update fairly quickly because they'd done so much work before. If I had another company come in, there was no way it could have been done. It's just built on what they did before.
Could I stay on this topic with a follow-up?
Okay, I'll go with Legislator Nolan first and start.
You presented on page 36 railroad trail design engineer recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is perform a detailed engineering and infrastructure survey of the corridor between Westbrook Lane and Basin Road.
Mm-hmm.
Did you not feel that the work that OSI has done along those lines is sufficient?
Well, I haven't seen the GBI study. That's what it's based on. And, you know, it would be nice to see that, but I, you know, that wasn't given to the
no, so this might be able to be addressed simply by providing the GSI study to you in its entirety.
I mentioned to Legislator Collins about this GSI study, but I assume it wasn't provided to the committee.
I don't know
if you've asked the GBI study, sorry.
To see the original study yet.
Yeah, we haven't seen that.
And you said in talking about this slide that the county would, in your words, need an engineer committed to railroad trail. My understanding is that OSI did their work without any preconceptions about rail, trail, or railroad trail. Why do you think that the county should pursue an engineer committed to railroad trail, and do you see Stone Consulting as being such an engineering firm?
No, I think you know, you're going to have to hire a design engineer for that, and that is going to be a lot more detailed. I mean, essentially, you know, what you've done when you design a trail, if you look at the design for the Midtown Trail and other things, they have very detailed design drawings. That's what's going to be done. That is, I don't know if Stone does it or not. I don't know.
I have some other questions, but other legislators first, please.
Legislator Stewart.
Thank you, Chair. One thing that was concerning about the OSI presentation last month was the situation with the bridge over 209.
Yep.
Can you
elaborate
on how you would deal with that situation?
Well, you know, if you look at the Stone report, that really bothered Stone, that bridge. They thought it could be done through a more conventional pedestrian crossing.
Because I believe the OSI stated it would be something like three sections, and each section is going to be like 100 feet, or
I mean, I don't
have those figures in front of me, but it was an elaborate.
Yeah, it was. It sounded like it was, because you know, you're going to have to, if it's going to be bikes, you got to basically slope up, over, slope down at, you know, an ADA type grade, and that's not going to be cheap. Now, I assume that the GPI report must have given more detail on that, but without any sense of the design, you know, we just threw a number in that is, I don't really know how accurate that number is because it's not based on a specific design. I mean, if you had the design, I could get Stone the prices if I saw the design from GPI, but, you know, it's the same trail only, and railroad trail is the same cost anyway. So in terms of the rail versus railroad trail versus trail, it's still going to have that. So it's not really we didn't feel it was worth focusing on too much. We focused more on the C9 bridge, where, you know, we've seen that parallel trail can be built cantilevered off the truss. we showed the picture. They're not cheap. $2.5 million to do that. You can share the, you actually can deck it over and, you know, basically do a stop and protect. Train stops, make sure it's clear, or you signalize it, you put little gates in there, make sure people are not listening. You know, it could be done. It's been done elsewhere. It's not the preferred option, but it's, it does save you, you know, $2 million.
And I had a follow-up question, too, if I may. How do you see the railroad trail, perhaps linking the O&W trail? Where do you see that connection happening?
Well, you put a connector in either two places. One is east of the thruway, one is west of the thruway. If it's east of the thruway, it's about 100 feet. West of the thruway is probably about 250 feet, and it's and again the bridge, the thruway bridge for the railroad is 30 feet wide, so you probably need to move the track over a little bit in order to run the trail through there. It can be done, but you may have to cross somebody else's land I think the Kingston Meadows on the land that's between the trail and the railroad. So it may be it's better to do it on the west side. If that's true, you know, that's on DOT land, or there's a private road there too. So we didn't put a pretty, I think it's only about $40,000 for the connector in there. It's fairly simple. But it would not be asphalt. It would not be an asphalt connection. It would be you would leave the asphalt there and go to a stone trail starting at that point.
Thank you.
What's on your own?
Yeah, I was a little confused and troubled by your comments that Ulster County has never done anything for the CMRR. I know that you have more recently joined CMRR, but do you not consider the 25-year lease that Ulster County had with the CMRR, during which time there was virtually no payments other than track construction?
Well, I'm really
a benefit that was extended to the CMRR?
I'm focusing on 2016, or the new lease. And since then, the only two things that we've had cooperation with the county on were the crossing projects at 209 and Washington Avenue. So they put that at the Ulster County tip. But we really had no other had no other real discussion about the long-term future of the railroad, except for those two projects.
And how much was the cost of the railroad crossing under the Ulster County tip?
Which one?
Well, whichever one you want to give me, and then the other one.
Washington Avenue was about $850,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the state paid directly for the crossing at 209, so I don't know exactly what the figure was. The crossing was $300,000 or $400,000. But the crossing, the gates and flashers that we put in was about $275,000. And that was all paid for with Section 130 money. Just about all money that's routed through the state.
And did Ulster County cooperate in doing those projects?
Yes.
Okay. Number four on that same page with the railroad trail design engineer, you say that you would request that the Ulster County work with CMRR to come up with a full infrastructure plan for the railroad, including runaround, sidings, maintenance facilities, and stations. Are you asking there for funding for those?
No.
And what is your thinking in terms of the county's input? Wouldn't it be for the CMRR to specify where they think those things could be done and then make requests provide a suggested plan?
In our permit, we have to propose any construction, and the county would approve it. But, you know, if you want to do it in the context of the railroad trail, we don't want to build a siding somewhere and then find out that we have to tear it up later because that's where the trail is supposed to go. We don't want to have to do something twice. That's the main thing. And I don't want to put a switch in somewhere, which is a lot of effort from us. I mean, we have the switches, but putting them in is a lot of labor. And then if we find out, well, that's the wrong place because that's where the trail's going to go, I just don't want to have to do it twice. So that's why we want to have, I really want to know where's the trail going to go, where's the river going to go, and then we don't have to, you know, we can build efficiencies. Again, when we have spare fill, I know where to dump it because that's where the trail's going to go. Or I, if we're going to build a siding, that's been designated by the county on the long-term plan, so that we know that if the trail comes through, it's not going to be torn up again.
So I have a question about fill. Is it your thought that that fill can be treated as clean fill? It has had creosote ties in it, and in the construction of the Ashokan Rail Trail, I believe the county had considerable expense in removing those materials in a way that would be appropriate for a site that's is next to the drinking water resources of New York City, you know, so for sure the most sensitive site. But there are wetlands and other sensitive sites in some of the areas that you seem to be proposing for fill that just would be brought from railroad segments and placed there.
Well, the fill is, basically the sources of fill are going to be the rock cuts that are above the railroad. And I don't know whether there's issues with the creosote ties or not, but those will not be exposed to it. You also just get fill. I mean, you can get fill and have it delivered by railroad to certain areas that are hard to access otherwise. But the fill that's going to come from excavated cuts should be pretty clean. I mean, obviously, you can check it to make sure. I mean, we would not want to take unclean fill and dump it somewhere, but it's not part of the track base. And I'm sure we can find locations. Railroad was built with fill that was excavated in various quarries on the line, which we still see in various places along the railroad. So there's places where we can obtain fill in the rock sides that will also make it wider for rail and trail.
And when was it built?
The original right-of-way was built in between 1866 and 1870, but it was added to in 1911 when the Ashokan Reservoir was rerouted. The segment from the end of the Stony Hall Fill all the way up to Basin Road was built in 1911, and was built to a higher engineering standard than the section from Kingston up to Stony Hollow.
So I would just say that I think that the environmental concerns of using on-site fill would be an additional cost that would need to be considered before the county could move in the direction of accepting that option.
Well, the pricing that was in the Stone did was assuming the fill is obtained elsewhere. It's not. It was just, that's the cost of $30 a cubic yard for fill is obtaining fill and bringing it in.
Okay.
Yeah, they assumed it was all, they did all that pricing, not assuming it's coming from the railroad. That's why they told me that if we did it, we could probably do all that.
And did they also assume that all the cut would be transported off site?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Legislator Lee, do you have something, or are you here?
No.
Okay. Legislator Levine.
Thank you. I just had a quick question going more, I guess, on the topic of the fill. I know you had mentioned earlier in response to a question from Legislator Stewart in regards to that you, CMRR, has equipment, I guess, in two locations right now that would be able to be dispersing of fill, one at the depot and one up in Phoenicia, you said?
Yep.
Can you just elaborate into the logistical challenges of how you would be able to get the equipment from, you know, the Phoenicia location, what the costs and logistical issues might be of being able to get that equipment, you know, down to this corridor to be able to be used, and, you know, how much that might cost to transport, and how feasible it would be to be able to bring it down to be able to be using for laying of fill. Thank you.
Yep. Well, actually, the both side dumps we lent to the Trolley Museum many years ago. And when they were expanding the Kingston Point area, we lent it to them, and they used that to add fill to the, it's now the railroad and the trail going out to Kingston Point. And they're, you know, basically these things can, because they have a low height, they can roll on and off a truck. There's special trucks that have rails in them that you can literally roll the thing up and you put it on the truck and you roll it off. It's probably $3,000 to $4,000 to do something like that. But we already did it. The Trolley Museum took both of our rail dumps, side dumps, took them down to Kingston Point, used them for about a year. Or what year was that? Was that like 2003 or 4, something like that? So it's done. It's been done. It was affordable then. It's not really that. Moving a locomotive is a lot bigger issue, but this equipment is not that difficult to move.
Thank you.
I have a question. So the fill area is a, my understanding, National Wetlands Area. To me, that is that accurate? And if so, what kinds of environmental studies need to be done in order to do anything there?
Well, we have purposely avoided the wetland area for any of the fill locations. That's why you have the walkway instead of the fill. And the other areas where fill is anticipated to go is basically down the Hurley Flats, which is, I do not believe is a wetland area. And the only area where they can say technically put some fill was on the parts of the Stony Hall fill that are nowhere near the wetland area. First couple hundred feet on each side are not wetlands, but as soon as you get the wetlands, you have to switch to doing the walkway. I think it's just better just to avoid the wetlands completely. That's what we told Stone.
Follow up on that. So even where you don't necessarily have to do fill, you'd have to cut trees, correct? I mean, I believe there's trees and there's shrubbery. I mean, there's stuff on that slope, so it's not a clean slope currently. It would impact the environment.
Well, there are some trees on the slope, yeah. And in the area where the walkway would be built, you would, you know, those trees would have to be cut down, but you wouldn't have to cut the trees on each side of the town.
Looks like you're Nolan.
You made some comments through the document that I would just urge some caution on. You mentioned in terms of the 2% grade in a couple of places that some people prefer only to go downhill. I don't know if you're aware that the county's transportation plan, I think done in 2009, suggested there are also bicycle riderships that would be attracted to Ulster County for our up and down hills. I was talking about street riding, but it would also pertain to an off-road trail, that there are some riders that prefer that. And I also wonder if any of the comments that might be attributed to Stone in that regard about problems with going uphill would take into account electric bikes, e-bikes.
I don't know. I took that comment really out of their report.
Mm-hmm. You state on page 16 that linking the CMRR to the Ashokan Rail Trail would result in a destination tourist location with much greater economic value than each attraction can attract on its own. And I just say that where you're speaking about the CMRR and what it can do, I'm willing to take you as the expert, but in terms of what a standalone trail from Kingston to the Ashokan Reservoir could do, I think that's a little beyond where I would accept your statement about the economics of that. It is not a given that this proposed railroad trail would do better.
Well, the thing is, we've never seen any study between Kingston and the Ashokan Reservoir, so it's hard to compare it because there hasn't been one.
So insofar as you're saying that railroad trail would be better for you than rail, I accept that.
Well, look, I mean, we made our policy railroad trail in 2013, we know that we can gradually build a railroad trail if we have the design worked out. We know it's important to the trail community to link the Ashokan Reservoir to Kingston. The economic benefits of that, I don't know. I mean, the Des Moines study was for the Ashokan Reservoir only. It wasn't for, going all the way to Kingston, at least not, specifically. Maybe you want to do, I can only guess as to what the trail by itself would be. But we believe that our business will increase, which helps the county. And we believe by bringing more people up to the trail, it's going to bring more people to the trail. Again, the key is to getting people from outside Ulster County to come here, more than currently do, and to get more overnight guests here. And linking the two attractions, we believe, is critical to getting the critical mass to make this a destination attraction. I mean, the Ashoka Rail Trail is a great trail, but there's a lot of the trails in Ulster County. Linking it to the railroad, having a dual experience, is, I think, very attractive to a broader swath of people than each does by itself. And that's, you know, we're willing to put our money where our mouth is about that.
So I would just ask the chair to consider requesting a presentation by somebody that could address the economics of connecting a trail, the Ashoka Rail Trail, and the trails that it connects to in the Bluestone and Wild Forest and other Capitol Park forest preserves and backcountry trails, and to the Empire State Trail as a comparison point, rather than accepting something presented in these materials here today.
I think that's a good transition. I'd like to conclude the presentation and talk about next steps for this committee. Is that? Let's see, you have something first.
No, I was just going to say, we have a tourism department, we have an economic development department, and those projections are what they do for the county on an everyday, you know, basis. Maybe we should invite them to one of our committee meetings and have them speak to the tourism value and the economic development value of trail, rail, and rail with trail.
Okay, I'd like to conclude the presentation and just talk about our next couple meetings then, if that's okay with the legislature. Thank you very much. So I have thought about the next couple months. It's, we have holidays at the end of the month, both in December and November, of course. We have, for legislators, we have a budget to get passed. I'm going to propose we not meet until January with this committee, the subcommittee, and that we work on the other issues that we need to work on as legislators. And I do like the idea of having a economic presentation over, you know, what rail would be, what rail and trail would be. I think that would be a good next step for us. I'm seeing heads nodded. Is that a consensus? Yes, let's put it
there. Well, I was just going to say that it would be difficult to meet in January because this committee, as it stands now, will end at the end of the year. It has to be reappointed in the next year, I believe.
From the resolution, you guys are appointed through the end of 2025.
Okay, thank you.
Legislator Stewart.
So if we meet in January, say, would that give the tourism and economic development, I mean, that seems like that would give them some time to at least look at this.
I'll ask them and I'll get an answer from them. Yeah.
Because I think that's a great idea that legislator that suggested.
Anything else? I'm not going to take questions because I don't want to. We have to end in just 5 minutes, and if I take one question, I'm going to take 20. So, if that's okay. Yes?
You have on the agenda the letter regarding herbicide application. Do you want to get to that today?
I think I understand that letter. There's a letter regarding herbicide application on the county rail. That's a request from CMRR to be able to access part of the line. I'm not quite sure what that was for. No? I guess I don't understand the letter then, so do we have the letter?
I'm not sure which letter you're referencing.
Discussion of letter regarding herbicide application on county rail road easement. I thought that was a letter from
Mr. Deputy Executive LaValle.
No. Oh, that? No, that's a different letter. We're not talking about that.
I believe they're referring to a letter from Amanda, Deputy County Executive LaValle, dated September 20th.
Okay.
That was given everybody last month, but I can reprint it if you want.
So,
okay, this is a response to the unauthorized herbicide application in the corridor. Okay, that was last month, I'm sorry. I do not remember that. I don't have a whole lot to comment on that other than just bring it up if any legislators have any comments on that. Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I would just refer to Deputy Executive LaValle's comment that she's referring the CMRR back to correspondence going to March of 2024 and basically says the county has a railroad easement on the FAI property, which is SDA FBL 38.4-3.50, and the state of New York recognizes that railroad easements have private property rights. As such, CMRR has no right to operate on the segment, cross the corridor, or perform maintenance on the tracks, notably including the application of herbicide, without the express permission of the county, which has not been granted to date.
That's my understanding also. So at this point, you know, any future application or any future use of the railroad that we have an easement on, we have property rights under state law. So we have to have understanding of that and agreement with that. That's my understanding of putting it along. Anything else? Anybody else? So a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.